As we gather this evening and celebrate this vigil of the Feast of Pentecost, the great feast of the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and disciples and the Blessed Mother gathered in the upper room, in that first reading, we're given the story of the Tower of Babel, that great image of all the people speaking one language, and because of that, presuming they could build their own tower even unto the heavens. Let us build our own life, our own civilization, our own tower to reach to the sky without reference to God. And so what God does is scatter them. Not because God is jealous, not because God is somehow threatened, but because God knows that effort in the end will be frustrated, will crumble down upon them, and in the end draw them even further away from Him. So the punishment is not so much a punishment as it is something of a medicine, a prescription to avoid what they were going to fall into. If someone were to ask you or to say, the whole world speaks a single language now, would that be correct? Does the whole world speak a single language? I think it does. It's called mathematics. Since the time of Francis Bacon, and then with Newton and others, the language the world speaks and actually says, this is true, this is fact. What you can show me mathematically, that you can prove and say, this causes this, and if you add these forces, you'll get this result. Mathematics. They calculated how to split an atom. Mathematics is at the basis of chemical reactions and figuring them out and weighing and all that goes with that. The atomic chart, the periodic table, it's all math. It's the language of the universe, and it's all one. And as long as we can figure it out, we can build. As long as we can project and determine, we can construct. And we can build our own future. And the power of the sciences, the hard sciences, is what gives us that language. And the whole world speaks it. Because it does exactly what Francis Bacon, 600 years ago, said it would do. It gives us power over nature so that we may control it. What it doesn't do is ask or answer, what's the meaning of life? What is the good decision? What's the right thing to do? What does it mean to be human and to love? Mathematics can never answer, and the hard sciences can never tell you what it means to be the person. Deep down, whether you believe in God or not, it cannot tell you what it means to be the person you inside know yourself called to be or desire to be. That the hard sciences can't answer. And in the face of death, or the absurdity of life, or tragedies, or frustrations, or all that comes with struggling to be good, to make right choices, all the hard sciences that people point to and say, there's the truth, can't answer any of that. Prior to Jesus being glorified, as we hear in the gospel, the Spirit had not yet come. All of the various pagan religions sought to answer those questions not through the hard sciences, but in a kind of desperate search to reach meaning, the divinity, eternity. They sought humanity on its own out of the natural longing of its heart and the desperation of his life in the world, continually sought, how do we live in this world well, in light of what truth? And the pagan philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Heraclitus, you can go down the list. They sought to answer the question, but they were always trapped within the finiteness of this world, even as they appealed to the divinities they thought existed. Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. The giving of the Spirit is to live in the truth. Truth that Christ comes and brings, that he shows in his own life, the truth of love, of who the Father is, of who we are, who we're created to be, and what is our future, what is the meaning of life, comes from living in the Spirit. And without it, life will always be unanswered. The truth will not be known in its fullness without the Spirit. So what we celebrate today is nothing less than the fact that the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, suffered, died, and rose, and then sent God's own Spirit into the world to dwell within us, to live in his life here and now, but to do so definitively for eternity. All the things that plague the human heart, all the things that science can't answer, all the questions that the one great language that rules the world, mathematics, cannot even raise as a question, all of that is answered in the power of the Spirit for those who believe and have faith and ask for the grace of the Spirit to enliven their lives, dwell in their hearts, enlighten their conscience, vivify their decisions, and give joy to all that the Lord calls them to do, to be, because it's in God. That's our prayer today. That's what we celebrate. This last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink." And my brothers and sisters, everyone thirsts. Everyone desires to live in the light of the truth and to know the wellspring of life that can well up inside of us through the power of the Spirit. So let us pray for that gift today and rejoice that the Lord, in fact, wants you to have it.